Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, good morning, and welcome to The Talking Cop. I'm Gav, and this is Tuesday morning, Tuesday the 5th of March. It's 10 a.m. You're all very welcome along. If you're watching, hit the like button, let us know you're in there. Leave your comments, and we read out as many as we can. As you know, this show is usually about 40% football, 60% nonsense. But we'll see how we get on in the next half an hour. Watson, let's talk football. The weekend of football, I suppose, officially ended last night. Arsenal beat Sheffield United 6-0. Arsenal are absolutely flying. They're pouring. Their fans are like overjoyed at what's going on, and why not? They're playing absolutely brilliant football. They're beating teams they should beat. I watched about 15 minutes of that game last night, and Jesus, I've never seen... Look, loads of credit to Arsenal. They went out, they done their job, they got 6 goals, they won the game. They're 2 points. We're in 2 points at the top of the table. They've lashed on a load of goals onto their goal difference. I don't think City have to play Sheffield United again. I'm not too sure. I know Liverpool do at Anfield around April the 4th. So Liverpool will have a chance to get some of them goals back in that game and then see where everything else goes. But Sheffield United have literally just given up. They've decided enough's enough. There's 12 games or whatever to go here, and we're not a hope of getting out. Chris Wilder's taking that job on after being sacked when they weren't very good the last time around. And yeah, they're going to go down. He's not going to have that job. And that's about it. Kieran B says Arsenal are choking teams. Look, it wasn't like Sheffield United put up a fight last night. And I'm not taking away from Arsenal. Before anyone says, oh, you're just giving out about Sheffield United. Sheffield United were appalling. And Arsenal put them to bed very, very quickly. And that's what their job is. Arsenal sit 2 points behind Liverpool, 1 point behind City. Liverpool play City this weekend. Arsenal are home to Brentford. Arsenal should go top before Liverpool play City. And then a draw would leave us and Arsenal level on points. Arsenal with a better goal difference. And City a point behind. Liverpool win will put us back 2 points ahead of 2 points ahead of Arsenal and 4 ahead of City. A Man City win would put us 2 points behind City and 1 point behind Arsenal, I think. Something along them lines, if I remember it right. But listen, hit the like button if you're here. Put some comments in if you're watching as well. You know how it works. 30 minutes or whatever we want. But Arsenal, really good win last night. Playing really well. I know Martinelli come off. I don't know how serious that is. A lot of people saying that Arteta should have had a few of them players off the pitch at halftime. You know, make your 5 subs or whatever. Get 5 of your big boys off. Don't worry about the Gunners, says Gavin. They hockey teams for weeks. Then move from third to third. They will bottle it. I think it's mad to write Arsenal off in this title race. I think they have you can argue about the run-in and who has harder and stuff like that. And Arsenal have got difficult games. You know, they've a lot of teams with a lot of lot to play for. You know, they've Spurs away. They have Manchester United away, which will probably won't have much to play for come the second last day of the season. But they've Villa at home. You know, I'm not too sure. Do they have Chelsea? I'm not too sure on the running, but I know they have a couple of difficult ones. But like, they're really playing well, and teams are doing it in different ways. I think City are just being City and just playing until teams kind of give up. I think Liverpool, because of the injury situation, are grinding things out, and you'll probably see Liverpool get into more of a groove as this goes on and teams come back. And Arsenal seem to have the most settled team all season with regards to the 11, 12, 13 they pick every week. And they're doing absolutely brilliant. Like, I don't know why people are writing them off. And I think it's because of their fan base. People despise their fan base. But I always said it, if Liverpool don't win it, I want Arsenal to win it, because I don't want them motherfuckers winning anything. It wouldn't surprise me, Gav, they have City, Spurs, United and Brighton away from home, says Kieran. Yeah, they do. Liverpool have some difficult aways. You know, United is a difficult away. Everton is a difficult away. You know, I expect us to win it, but or win them, but they are difficult aways. We've Man City at home, we've Spurs at home. Now, we do have, you know, we have got the likes of Sheffield United at home. We've Fulham away. You can kind of manipulate this run into whatever way you want to feel. That's the way I look at it. They have Chelsea at home midweek before the Spurs game that weekend, says Kieran. Chelsea at home midweek before the Spurs game that weekend. Oh, okay, yeah, so that's two difficult games for Arsenal coming as well. We will see what Arsenal are made of when they go to City, Brighton, Spurs, Villa, etc., etc. Still going to finish third, and I can't stand Arteta. He's like a Duracell bunny on the touchline. Forgetting what you don't like about their manager or their fan base, because, you know, like, they haven't won a league title in 20 years. They've every right to be this excited and buzzing. Like, go back to 2013-14. We hadn't won one in 24 years. Yeah. And we were all buzzing and bum, bum, bum. They're the same, you know. And they're a really good football team. You could call it a little bit of luck with the injuries, but they've obviously managed themselves well. During the Champions League group, that they got through. We knocked them out of the FA Cup. They were out of the League Cup. So they put all their eggs kind of in the league and Champions League basket. You will have more games coming for them, and that'll be interesting to see how they get through it. But yeah, it's. I just think it's a brilliant title race, and I stand by it. I don't really give a fuck about, you know, Arsenal's fan base or their manager and stuff like that. I'm picking Arsenal over City every single day of the week to win a title. You know what I mean? And people argue, oh, well, City's name will be on it, and it won't mean much. It's still their name on it. It's still 18 other teams doing their absolute best every week against a team that has cheated their way into that position. And that's just the way I look at it. Neither Arsenal stay in the Champions League if they have to drop points, says Megan. Gary Max says, good morning. Scouser P, be what's in front of us, and whatever Arsenal the cheating fuckers do, they can't catch us. That's also correct. Gavin Walsh says, imagine if we end up with the Evs, our second last game of the season, we go to win the title and are relegated. Oh, the fume and bills will be immense. Everton ain't going down. So I've come to that conclusion. I've resigned myself to that. I know they're continuing to lose games, but Luton's bubble appears to be burst for me. Just are on the very, very verge of being burst. Is that even a saying? Very, very verge. They look in trouble. Forest look in deeper trouble than Everton. I think Forest have a better squad than Everton, but Forest just, I don't know what it is about them. They just look like a lot of huff and puff and you know, there's no punch. Out of the top three teams, City and Arsenal would swap their fixtures with us, but they certainly wouldn't swap our injuries. We can't take any game for granted. I think that's what it might come down to. I think if Liverpool, you know, we have Szoboszlai back, we have Nunez back, quietly Salah will come back, and then you're looking at Jones, Trent, Jota. And if they all come back the other side of the international break, which I expect Jones and maybe Trent to do so, then Liverpool, like I said, if we navigate these next four games, which is get through in the Europa League, get through in the FA Cup, and get a positive result against Man City, I think we go into the real run-in, the absolute run-in, where there's 10 games to go. In really good stead, and just enjoy it. Like, at the end of the day, Arsenal haven't won one in 20 years. They're enjoying it. they have to be enjoying it. We never expected to be here. You know, never expected to be here. So enjoy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I was thinking about it last night, and I was thinking, you know, how good is Alexis McAllister? And I listened to a couple of Liverpool podcasts over the weekend, our own included after the match, and the Anfield Wrap. When I say a couple, they're the only two I really listen to. But when, on both occasions, Alexis McAllister was coming on, I was thinking, you know, we don't look too far back. People are like, is he doing what he's meant to do? Is he in the right position? But then if you look a little bit forward, you're thinking, Jesus, how strong is he going to be going into next season? You know, with a season under his belt. And he's already shown the form, I think, that he's destined to show for Liverpool next season. And a couple more in that boat as well. Gary Max, did he say good morning? If Brian Jardine says good morning. Lads and lasses, if we beat City next weekend, says Kieran. If we beat City next weekend, we're in a really, really good position. Because I think after the international break, we'll have an FA Cup game after the international break. Then I think City play Arsenal. I think after this weekend, Arsenal don't have a league game until the 3rd of April. Oh, or 21st of March, actually. How's that worked out for Arsenal? Jesus, that's very interesting. How have they managed to miss a league game until the 21st of March? Is that FA Cup stuff and stuff like that? Let me see. Premier League, Arsenal matches. So they play Brentford this weekend. They have Porto in midweek. The 16th of March, they're meant to play Chelsea, but it's the FA Cup weekend. Oh, and then they have their break. Okay, so Arsenal literally have... Jesus, Arsenal have a 19-day break after Porto, after the next two games. Cool. All right. Yeah, look, that will be Arsenal well-rested. Then you think, if they haven't played in 3 weeks, are they fresh? Are they going to be a little bit lethargic because they haven't played, you know? You can twist it whatever way you want. You can twist it whatever way you want. In other football stuff, I woke up this morning to, I believe it's the anniversary of Liverpool 7, Man United 0. I woke up to a couple of videos about that, so I'm going to presume the anniversary is on, or just loads of people woke up thinking the same thing. But it seems to be the anniversary, 5th of March 2023. I should know, I was at it. But Jesus, yeah, what a day that was. And thinking back to it, United probably edged the first half. Really, that's funny. They kind of do. They play well. They're compact. They're dangerous at times. I remember Bruno Fernandes having a good header at the back post. And I remember Rashford having a chance and kind of fluffed his lines, hitting it straight at Alisson. And then Cody Gakpo scores around the 44th, 42nd minute. And then it's just mayhem. But you know what made me laugh this morning? I seen that these videos when I woke up, and it was all about the 7-0, 7-0, and I remember Bojcetic coming on and waltzing around Bruno Fernandes, and Bruno Fernandes just decided he didn't want to play football anymore. And I seen a video of Mark Goldbridge yesterday about the captaincy at Manchester United, and it was like, you know, well, if you look at it, you know, Rooney suffered during the captaincy because he had more responsibility. Harry Maguire suffered because he's much better without the captaincy. Bruno Fernandes has suffered because of the captaincy. And I was like, hold on. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hit the fucking pause button here. Bruno Fernandes wasn't the fucking... Was he the captain last season? And I was like, he hasn't suffered because of the captaincy. He's been given the captaincy and has acted in the most petulant way a captain could. Like, he's at Old Trafford last year. And no, sorry, he's not the captain at Old Trafford last year. He's not. He's made captain at the end, start of this season. So all this suffering about captaincy, I had to stop and think, well, Mark, hold on. You know, Mark Overridge is growing on me, I'm going to be honest with you. Not because of his United stand stuff, because of the other stuff he's doing, where he's actually allowing himself to be honest about football, and not be tribalistic, which I think way too many people are. And I thought to myself, no, he hasn't suffered because of the captaincy. He wasn't the captain. You've took the captaincy off the centre-half because he's Melodian, and you've given the captaincy to the fella that stopped running at Anfield against Liverpool in a heavy, heavy defeat. And I was like, wow, you know, I can't agree with Mark on that. It's not about the captaincy at Manchester United. Look, I wanted to talk about this last night. I think they should have sacked Harry Ten Hag last after the game on Sunday. They should have sacked him. Like, he goes out there, and I understand he's got injuries. You know, he's missing. McGuire doesn't play. Who else doesn't play? Lisandro Martinez doesn't play. You know, he's a good few injuries. You see the injury list he has. But he still goes out there, and he goes 1-0 up, and he can see a way home against Man City, which is be compact and hit them on the break. He then goes to 10 players within 30-metre wide section and 30-metre square in front of their own penalty box. And he stays like that for the whole game, regardless of what happens. No threat whatsoever. And I'd be amazed if he's Manchester United manager next season. Amazed. Because signings haven't been good. Form isn't good. Come up against any quality, struggle badly. You talk about plan A's and plan B's. I don't know where the plan A is. And then the plan B is that what you're seeing on Sunday. And after that, it's like, no, we're just sticking here. Just literally don't get hammered. It was basically Man City against Luton Town. And that's being coined. That could have been a League One side. Absolutely hoping not to get hammered by Man City on Sunday. And that's the way it is. Let me see. Kieran. Let me see. Oh, sorry. The 19-day break for Arsenal is because the Chelsea league game got rescheduled because of the FA Cup and Arsenal out of all domestic cups. Yeah. So, yeah, that's been rescheduled twice now, hasn't it? Yeah. What do you make of Plattenburg, or whatever his name is, saying that Bayern is getting some confidence out of Alonso leaves Leverkusen and going to Bayern? Is he a Bayern mouthpiece? Plattenburg also said that Alonso sees that going to Liverpool after Klopp is an impossible task or a losing task, something to that effect. Don't quote me. That's not word for word perfect. And he said, sorry, I'm on my phone, typo. Right. Listen, don't be believing all this, please. They're all fucking spoofers. They haven't a clue what's going on. And that argument, he sees it as a losing task. What about going to Bayern? After Hansi Flick, after Tuchel, you've got midfielders throwing digs at your staff. You've got players not giving a fuck. You're bringing in players from, Eric Dyer and these people into the team. Bayern is a mess. Now, if you want to go into a mess that you feel that dominance can be torn fairly quickly, fine. If you want to go to Liverpool that's set up for you to literally go in, it's handmade, boom, there you go, fine. But honestly, they're filling news now. And I'll tell you what, I'll say nothing more on it. Wait until Liverpool play these four games and we go into an international break. And I promise you, everyone will know what Alonso's going to do, what his missus thinks, or is this kids talk fucking in Scouse accents, what school they go to, what house they could rent because fucking Brendan Rodgers hasn't won on the market. Literally, stop. If you're listening to them, your outlook on the season is wrong. There's competition is the win here. We've a manager in place. We've all our staff in place. We've players coming back. That is just filling column inches. That's for you to click on and Plettenburg or whatever the fuck his name is, Platten, whatever, gets his clicks and gets his ads and gets his revenue, right? That's all it is. There hasn't been a word out of Liverpool. There hasn't been a word out of Xavi Alonso. There hasn't been a word. Bayern Munich might spin a few bits in there. Let them, because they might actually be looking for Xavi Alonso. But please, they know nothing. They know nothing. When you need to know anything about Liverpool, you'll know about it. And again, we're all like convincing ourselves, and I want Xavi Alonso. We're all convincing ourselves that Liverpool want Xavi Alonso. We don't know that. They've known this news 4 months now. They are more than likely doing whatever they need to get the person or persons they want in place. And this fella, Plattenburg, who people think knows everything, he's another fucking spoofing gig now. Don't be minding them. They just say all this sort of shit, be very vague about it, throw it out there, and then 2 days later, he'll be sitting in this, you know, pretend fucking studio he sits in and telling you something else. So don't be worrying about him. Don't be worrying about him. Big discussion in our house last night. What's everyone's favourite Easter egg? Lindor is winning at the moment in airplanes. Lindor's solid. Solid choice. Stephen Kemp says, I've been in touch with Nottingham Forest Football Club. Sent him a very strong worded email regarding the treatment of Liverpool mascot and mother, plus poverty songs. Had enough of it. And Garmack says, in your own words, Gav, no one has a fucking braids. Yeah, no one has a fucking braids. Yeah, like, come on. Like, why do people find it so difficult, right? I'll tell you what to do. Do the opposite. Listen to everything they say. Take down the date, the time, and a screenshot. Or write it down if you want. You want to go old school, Jessica Fletcher on it. Write it down, Columbo, do whatever you want, right? Or take a screenshot of everything they say. Every fucking day, right? And at the end of it, see what happens. And see how it works, how it unfolds. Because what they do is, they put their bet, or they put their house on something. They put their house on something. And then they see if it happens. And if it happens, they claim everything. And if it doesn't happen, they go, oh, well, that's the information I got. Things must have changed. You boom, 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 boom. And you're like, right, okay. Like, do that. London is quality, Gavin, says Gar. I wasn't even talking about London, but fair enough. But he says, Lindor is quality, Gavin. Yes, that's what you're talking about. Big stubby sausage fingers on your Gary Mac. Fair play to you. Easter eggs. Jeez, we're back to that time of year again. Lindor is such a solid choice. Like, I know my daughter's going to look for Lindor. She looks for the Lindor mint one. I think it's a green one. She looked for that. My wife likes the Lindor assorted one. My young fella doesn't care. She's not really into chocolate. But Lindor is a good choice. I'm gonna say it. A couple of times when I was a kid, I wanted a Bounty one. I don't know what is people's issues with Bounty bars. It's just coconut bits and chocolate. What is people's issues with that? But if you have an Easter egg show, your favorite one, throw it in there. I remember a Bounty one years ago where it was actually the box, right, had the egg on the front. Obviously, it was like you know, like you get a toy. You know, when you get a toy and there's like a square bit of the box over here, then it flattens to the egg in kind of this see-through plastic. It was like that, but the two bounties were in the middle and two half an eggs around it with like a beach background on it. But yeah, I remember that for a Bounty. I love a hazelnut bar. And does it depend on the type of chocolate? Because some like Nestle, some like Cadbury's, some like the likes of Lindor or Butler's. Does it come down to the type of chocolate? Sometimes it does for me. A Galaxy, I think the Galaxy eggs are the best by a mile. Absolutely. The thickness of them, best by a mile. Coconut's too healthy for some people. Well, it's not real coconut. It's just bits of stuff that tastes like coconut. Don't worry, I'm always on my phone, says Dan Austin. And when I'm not, my dyslexia always lets me down. Oh, with regards to the typing. Well, I'll let you away with it if you have dyslexia. I'm not letting Gary Mac away with it. Stephen Kemp says, the video of the mascot being rescued by Andy Robertson and his mother, I think, and their coaching staff verbally abused is all over social media. Yeah, look, leave them to it. They're going down. They're getting a points deduction. They're a joke of a football club. The fact that Nottingham Forest are shouting cheats at a physio of Liverpool, the irony isn't just simply lost on them, so that's all right. Bounties are great, Steve Murphy says. Put the bar in the fridge, then eat the chocolate off, just leaving the coconut piece. Then, drum roll, I think Steve's going to type again. But, yeah, let me see. Is there any more on the Easter eggs? I used to love the Yorkie Easter egg. Great big bars inside and a Yorkie mug. Oh, do I remember a Yorkie mug? Does that influence people? Oh, do you get a mug with that one? You know, Cadbury's cream egg, always done mugs. Would that change your mind? Look at that mug when there's 47 mugs in the gaff, you know, from Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, you know, you're the best dad, written all over all the things. Bounties are disgusting, says Kieran B. Nothing wrong with his fucking typing there. But look, there's nothing wrong with bounties. Bounties are grand. Dark chocolate ones as well, quality. Leave Bounty alone. I think they got a bad rap in the... Is it Box of Celebrations they were in? I think they got a bad rap in there. Is that all the football we have? I think that's all the football we have. Look, Arsenal have won. There's a title race on. There's loads of spoofers out there trying to tell you now everything about Xavi Alonso and what he's going to do. Is this the fella... Who's the fella that reported Xavi Alonso to Bruce and Munch and Gladbach? And then a week later, he was at Leverkusen. That was one of them as well. One of them lads. Why don't any of them give mugs anymore with the eggs? Gavin Walsh says it. Why don't they give mugs with the Easter eggs anymore? It used to influence people back in the day. And a mug is fuck all, like, you know. But, like, is mugs really going to cut it now? I would say, instead of mugs, you know, like a thermos cup like I have there in front of me, one of those or a little thermos flask with it, you know, because that tells you, you know, yeah, you might get a mug, but this one here is different to what's in the press and it holds the tea or the coffee or whatever for longer. You know, why not something on them lines? Thermos flask or like a mini packet of Yorkie that you can put in the freezer. Do you know what I mean? Something like that, yeah. Something to influence you. Because if you just put the eggs out there, I think Lindor or Winandor, they're a bit pricey. A little bit pricey. Xavi Alonso was seen at the AXA last Thursday night. My mate's dad's a taxi driver. Billy the Blue Nose Bullshitter is his name. Dropped him off. Listen, that's about as reliable as what you're listening to from journalists, in inverted commas, with blue ticks and all those people that follow them and believe every word out of their mouth when they don't tell you anything. So we're starting to get some nicer weather over here now, Gav. Dusted off the clubs yesterday. Ready for the weekend. Any signs of you coming out yet? Where are you? Let me know where you are, Ian Patnett, and I will absolutely consider it. The Golf Channel. People have been asking. As I said, the weather's been appalling. And trying to go out in that, we need buggies when we go out because of the cameras and equipment. And so we have carried cameras around the course before, but you'd be wrecked from it. So playing golf then, you feel like, oh, my arms are hanging off me here. So, but exciting news on the Golf Channel. It's coming back in April. We've had two very good friends of ours come along to sponsor the channel, which allows us to get more equipment, go out, you know, get to more courses, do more videos and stuff like that. So our target now is starting in April. It will be back. And when it comes back, you will have at least one main video a week, along with loads of different YouTube reels and TikTok shorts and whatever the fuck they call them. That's completely wrong. I've completely said that wrong. Instagram have reels, YouTube have shorts, and TikTok is just TikTok. So you're going to get a load of that with one main video a week, possibly two, depending on what we are. But our target in the next 6 months is to bring you one video a week plus all the other social media stuff around it. Two very good friends of ours are sponsoring it. We'll tell you who they are when we get back into it. But they're sponsoring it, which allows us to get more equipment, go to more courses, video more stuff, and go to different locations. So that is definitely coming back. If you are anywhere near us, your members of this channel, you can trust us, we can trust you. If you're anywhere near us and you want to come and play with us, don't worry how good or bad you are. Come and play with us, have a laugh with us for the day. We'll start shooting at 8 in the morning, we'll finish at 5 in the evening, we'll have bleeding 9 hours of madness until the cameras run out of battery, and we'll have a bit of fun. Or you want us to come and see you and we can organise it, we'll absolutely do that. All right. Let me see. I'm old enough to remember getting a Bosco mug. Oh, Bosco. Jesus. Did you throw it back, Darren Lyons? Did you throw it back? Lear Chocolate Factory across from... the Lear Chocolate Factory is across from me, says Stephen Murphy. Why can no one type this morning? Have a shop inside with discounts on the chocolate. Lovely stuff. Well, now you say it, right? Stephen Murphy has to come down to me to collect something off me that I collected for him during the week. And I think Stephen Murphy should bring me a discounted bag of Lear chocolate from the factory across from his house that he gets discount on. Bring it down to me, hand it over, and I'll hand over the thing I collected for him. How is that going? Let me see. I don't know what used a tea mug was for 6-year-old in the 80s. That's what I'm saying. You need to mix it up. When is the cooking show coming on board? That won't be coming on board. I have not enough time. If everything else fails, I might go to cooking. My older brother loved Bosco and Wanderly Wagon. I was more zig and zag and the den coming home from school. I'm trying to guess your age there now, Kieran, to be honest with you. Your older brother loved Bosco. Your older brother. Right, okay. Never really liked Bosco. Thought he was weird. Ellesmere Port, just over the water. Oh, okay. I'm going to write that down. Tell you what, Ian, do me a favour. Unless you can tell me the nicest golf course around there in the next 3 minutes, email us at talkingcop1@gmail.com. Talkingcop1@gmail.com. Zig and Zag were two pricks. They weren't great. They were two pricks. Imagine that voice in your head all day. Fuck that. No way. Did your man have done Zig and Zag go on to do Podge and Rodge. Maybe he did. But the noise of them two, oh, they'd bleeding melt your head. Same age as me, are you? Right, because I wasn't a Zig and Zag. I just wasn't a Zig and Zag fan. I don't think I was a Den fan, to be honest with you. Ray Darcy fucking does me, still does me head in. I think he's on RTE now. Yeah, no, not having, I wasn't a Zig and Zag fan. Cartoon fan, obviously, but not Zig and Zag. They just done me head in. They really do. So, listen, 29 minutes in, I think. Let me see. Let me double check. Yeah, 20, just hitting 29 minutes in. A year younger, I think, Kieran. Well, I'm 42 the week after next. So, then you can, yeah, I'm sure you can add her up from there. Hopefully. But, look, on the Easter egg front, I know Lindor's going to win in this gap as well. If Steve doesn't turn up with that bag of Lear now, I'm going to be really, really upset. What did you watch coming home from school? I'm going to be very honest with you. Will you have a day off? Don't like Zig and Zag. I don't like them. That, like, Jesus Christ. Like, not everyone has to like Zig and Zag. I'm going to be honest with you, and this sounds mad, but when I come home from school, primary school, it was straight on playing football. Like, I was just, like, everything. Football was everything. Like, literally in the door, not even changed, back out the door, football against the wall across the road. There was a wall across the road and a set of gates on Air Garden, and they were the two goals. And whether you were playing your own or there was another fella out there and you play one, each has had a goal to defend and you're lashing shots at each other. That was me in primary school, honestly. Just me and a football. As much as I possibly could. In secondary school, I wasn't kind of getting home till 4 o'clock. Was the Den still on at 4 o'clock? I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I remember coming out from lunchtime during secondary school, and it was Home and Away or fucking Neighbours or one of those. And then coming home from school, I don't really remember. The only thing I really remember, and genuinely, like, apart from watching football, I remember Monday nights in Ireland at Network 2, 9:30, was the, they used to show the all the Italian goals on the weekend, at 9:30 on a Monday. I remember that. But other than that, lads, honestly, I have a terrible memory when it comes to what I watched when I come home from school. Like, Jesus Christ, yeah, I didn't. Cantor says, I stayed in a hotel in Ellesmere Port back in the 90s, went over at a match. It was on the river. Can't remember the name. Yeah, we need to know more about Ellesmere Port from Ian Partnett. We might go and play golf there. Up tomorrow morning, got to collect the shopping. I'll drop in. Yes! Bring the Lear chocolate. If you're knocking me door without Lear chocolate, I'm just going to ignore you. I'm going to go, don't know who you are. I'm actually going to pretend you're a Jehovah's Witness. Because they're the best, aren't they, when the Jehovah's knock at your door. And they're all love and they're all fucking in great form and you're like, couldn't be more ignorant and they're still so nice to you. And then you just fuck off to the next door. So that's it. Galazzo, yeah, Monday night. People still say to me, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. I promise you. 9:30, Monday nights, Network 2 in Ireland, which is now RTE 2, they showed the Italian football. It might have been actually, it was just the highlights. Maybe they whipped it from Channel 4. And got it. I'm not too sure, but it was definitely the Italian goals. The big nets. I remember how the team names used to come up and the player names, and there used to be a line up the side of the screen with a time at the top of it. I remember all of that. There was a Batman cartoon I'd always watch, and Animaniacs. Animaniacs was great, says Kieran. Jesus, you're really living your youth here. You're probably out smoking and sculling cans, Gab. No, it wasn't. Jesus, I wasn't that fucking bad. I can't remember what I watched when I went home from school. Anyway, that's our 30 minutes done. I might be off to Ellesmere Park to play some golf with Ian Patnett if he ever comes back and tells me what the story is. Arsenal are really good. Man City are really good at cheating. Liverpool are really good. All the lads that pretend to know everything about Xavi Alonso, do two things. One, ignore them completely. Or two, take them at every word you say, screenshot it, put it in a folder, keep it at the end of the season when Xabi Alonso either stays at Leverkusen, is Liverpool manager, is Bayern manager, is Real Madrid manager, and see what they all said. And follow their timeline. Follow the vague fucking magical mystery tour and see where it comes out. That is a project if one of you want to take it on. The Serie A show was the business. It was the business. Great team tune as well. It was fantastic. Those were the days. That's when football highlights were proper. Because Match of the Day, I think, is dead. Absolutely dead on his arse. But anyway, that has been your 30 for this morning. Let me see. I don't think we have a show tonight. We might have one. We'll definitely have one tomorrow at 10 a.m. We'll be back at 10 p.m. tomorrow night as well. Thursday we will have, should have a 10 a.m. show as well, and reaction to Sparta Prague against Liverpool. Might do a little bit of a preview on Friday. Won't be here Saturday. We'll be here Sunday twice for all around everything around Man City. Hit the like. Leave a comment if you want. Thanks a million for being members. New Liverpool prize coming for football prizes. And if you have find a free fiver in your pocket that you're not using, or you're not, you decided I'm not buying that three Easter eggs for a fiver in Tesco, I'm going to give it to the lads at the fundraiser. Link is in the description. Split it between us and Phil's mad lunatic five Iron Man challenge thing that he's doing. It's off the wall, but it's a brilliant place he's doing it for, with Laura Lynn, that one being. Anyway, have a good Tuesday. Hopefully the weather clears up a little bit. Awful yesterday. Talk to you in a bit. Over now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.